Liar. Alfred Lanning lit his cigar carefully, but the tips of his fingers were trembling slightly. His gray eyebrows hunched low as he spoke between puffs. It reads minds all right. Damn little doubt about that. But why? He looked at mathematician Peter Bogart. Well? Bogart flattened his black hair down with both hands. That was the 34th RB model we've turned out, Lanning. All the others were strictly orthodox. The third man at the table frowned. Milton Ash was the youngest officer of U.S. Robot and Mechanical Men Incorporated, and proud of his post. Listen, Bogart, there wasn't a hitch in the assembly from start to finish. I guarantee that. Bogart's thick lips spread in a patronizing smile. Do you? If you can answer for the entire assembly line, I recommend your promotion. By exact count, there are 75,234 operations necessary for the manufacture of a single positronic brain, each separate operation depending for successful completion upon any number of factors, from 5 to 105. If any one of them goes seriously wrong, the brain is ruined. I quote our own information folder, Ash. Milton Ash flushed, but a fourth voice cut off his reply. If we're going to start by trying to fix the blame on one another, I'm leaving. Susan Calvin's hands were folded tightly in her lap, and the little lines about her thin, pale lips deepened. We've got a mind-reading robot on our hands, and it strikes me as rather important that we find out just why it reads minds. We're not going to do that by saying your fault, my fault. Her cold gray eyes fastened upon Ash, and he grinned. Lanning grinned too, and, as always at such times, his long white hair and shrewd little eyes made him the picture of a biblical patriarch. True for you, Dr. Calvin. His voice became suddenly crisp. Here's everything in pill concentrate form. We've produced a positronic brain of supposedly ordinary vintage that's got the remarkable property of being able to tune in on thought waves. It would mark the most important advance in robotics in decades if we knew how it happened. We don't, and we have to find out. Is that clear? May I make a suggestion? Asked Bogart. Go ahead. I'd say that until we do figure out the mess, and as a mathematician I expect it to be a very devil of a mess, we keep the existence of RD-34 a secret. I mean, even from the other members of the staff. As heads of the departments, we ought not to find it an insoluble problem, and the fewer know about it. Bogart is right, said Dr. Calvin. Ever since the Interplanetary Code was modified to allow robot models to be tested in the plants before being shipped out to space, anti-robot propaganda has increased. If any word leaks out about a robot being able to read minds before we can announce complete control of the phenomenon, pretty effective capital could be made out of it. Lanning sucked at his cigar and nodded gravely. He turned to Ash. I think you said you were alone when you first stumbled on this thought-reading business. I'll say I was alone. I got the scare of my life. RB-34 had just been taken off the assembly table, and they sent him down to me. Oberman was off somewheres, so I took him down to the testing rooms myself. At least I started to take him down. Ash paused, and a tiny smile tugged at his lips. Say, did any of you ever carry on a thought conversation without knowing it? No one bothered to answer, and he continued, You don't realize it at first, you know. He just spoke to me. As logically and sensibly as you can imagine. And it was only when I was most of the way down to the testing rooms that I realized that I hadn't said anything. Sure, I thought lots, but that isn't the same thing, is it? I locked that thing up and ran for Lanning. Having it walking beside me, calmly peering into my thoughts and picking and choosing among them, gave me the willies. I imagine it would, said Susan Calvin thoughtfully. Her eyes fixed themselves upon Ash in an oddly intent manner. We are so accustomed to considering our own thoughts private. Lanning broke in impatiently. Then only the four of us know. All right. We've got to go about this systematically. Ash, I want you to check over the assembly line from beginning to end. Everything. You're to eliminate all operations in which there was no possible chance of an error, and list all those where there were, together with its nature and possible magnitude.
Tall order, grunted Ash.
Naturally. Of course, you're to put the men under you to work on this. Every single one if you have to, and I don't care if we go behind schedule either. But they're not to know why, you understand.
Yes, the young technician grinned wryly. It's still a lulu of a job.
Lanning swiveled about in his chair and faced Calvin. You'll have to tackle the job from the other direction. You're the robo-psychologist of the plant, so you're to study the robot itself and work backward. Try to find out how he ticks. See what else is tied up with his telepathic powers, how far they extend, how they warp his outlook, and just exactly what harm it has done to his ordinary RB properties. You've got that?
Lanning didn't wait for Dr. Calvin to answer.
I'll coordinate the work and interpret the findings mathematically.
He puffed violently at his cigar and mumbled the rest through the smoke.
Bogart will help me there, of course.
Bogart polished the nails of one pudgy hand with the other and said blandly,
I dare say. I know a little in the line.
Well, I'll get started.
Ash shoved his chair back and rose. His pleasantly youthful face crinkled in a grin. I've got the darndest job of any of us, so I'm getting out of here and to work.
He left with a slurred, be seeing you.
Susan Calvin answered with a barely perceptible nod, but her eyes followed him out of sight, and she did not answer when Lanning grunted and said, Do you want to go up and see RB-34 now, Dr. Calvin?